Would you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 20, 19 through verses 19 through 31? This is a famous story. Doubting Thomas. John tells us this: on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed him his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said, "Unless I see the nail marks in the hands, put my finger where the nails were, unless I put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them this time. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to Jesus, "My Lord, my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for this beautiful day in a beautiful place that we get to live in. What a gift, what a blessing it is. And Lord, as we come to your word this morning, another post-Easter story, we pray, as we always pray, for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear. Everything you want to say to our hearts this morning through Doubting Thomas, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray, saying amen. All right, so during this Eastertide season, again, 40 days after Easter, we are looking at some of these post-resurrection narratives. Why? Because we tend to forget things. We forget a lot of things. And so these post-resurrection stories relate stories about the resurrected Jesus' involvement and interactions with his forgetful disciples and followers so that they would never, ever forget again. And so we're looking at several of John's after Easter stories to his appearance to his disciples, particularly this morning looking at Doubting Thomas. Now John says in verse 19, on the evening of that first Easter Sunday, the disciples were all gathered together behind locked doors out of fear. And what we sometimes forget is they would have been terrified, and rightly so. See, what would happen is if a political or a religious leader was executed, the common practice was to go for the Romans was to go after them and after their followers in particular, get them as well. So it was very wise for them to lay low, even to get out of the city of Jerusalem if they had the opportunity. And so it's in this situation of fear and trepidation that the resurrected Jesus suddenly presents himself. His words are very simple in the midst of their terror. He says, "Peace, shalom, be with you," confirming his identity with the pierced nail hands and spear-pierced side. So for them, the evidence was unmistakable. John says they went from terror in one moment to overwhelming joy in the next. And he confirmed their confidence and belief in him. Verse 21, again, he says, "Peace be with you." Remember, that's what he said to Mary Magdalene last week, the first Christian missionary, when she saw him, "Peace be with you." And then he commissions them to do his divine work. Now, some people wonder about terms in the Bible. So disciples, followers of Jesus, now they are commissioned and sent out. That's what the word apostle means in Greek, a sent one. They're proclaiming the good news of the Christian faith, and he offers them the infilling of the Holy Spirit to do the works of Jesus. And little would they know at that time is that each one of these apostles would end up in different places, we know, ministering in different ways, and some of them would go beyond the borders of the Roman Empire. That's why I like that little video by Dave Stotts. You know, the good news is Thomas did stop doubting and he believed, and he had a tremendous ministry all the way in India, and that is historically proven. More on that in a second. But John tells us in verse 24 that Thomas wasn't with the disciples when Jesus first appeared to them on that first Easter Sunday evening. And you'll notice that their witness and response to Thomas was exactly the same that Mary Magdalene experienced earlier with the disciples. She said, "I have seen the Lord." That's the first witness or evangelical word ever preached. Now, John gives us the idea that for most people, seeing is believing. We've heard that before. Yeah, I got to see it if I'm going to believe it. Disciples weren't sure what to make of Mary's words at first, and the disciples' words likewise fell on deaf ears with Thomas. Now, many people are doubtful and skeptical of many things in this fallen world. And how many times have you heard saying, "Listen, seeing is believing. I'll believe it when I see it." Yeah, kind of like the time when a husband and a wife who traveled with the circus went to a Catholic adoption agency, and they're met with extreme doubt, even a bit of hostility by the mother superior in charge. The nun grilled the couple incessantly. "Do you really believe that the circus is a good and suitable place to raise a child? What about the child's education? What about its health care?" "Certainly, mother," said the heavily tatted circus couple. "The circus has a state-of-the-art nursery. It has private educational tutors, and it has a full-time nurse with a degree in pediatric medicine." "Well, that's very impressive," said the mother superior. "But do you want a boy or do you want a girl?" "Doesn't really matter," said the circus couple, "as long as it fits in the canon." Oh, doubters and unbelievers. Thomas is the ultimate example in Scripture of the skeptical person who refuses to accept the testimony of others unless they can see and experience it for themselves. His doubt is so deep, so entrenched, he told the disciples bluntly, "I will not believe. In fact, unless I see Jesus with my own eyes, unless I can stick a finger in the hole of his nail-pierced hand, unless I can put my hand in the spear-pierced side, I will not believe you guys for a moment." Now, have you ever thought about this? How irritated, how angry, how hurt the rest of the disciples must have been? I'm not sure what's worse, that Thomas refused to believe these guys that he had been living with and hanging out for 3 years, or the idea that he basically called them all a bunch of liars. Pretty frustrating. You know, Thomas persisted in his unbelief for an entire week. John doesn't tell us, but how many times do you think the different disciples tried to convince Thomas that Jesus was alive during that week? I bet you it was a lot, but Thomas remained stubborn in his doubt and unbelief. John says that the scenario was replayed almost exactly a week later. They're still laying low. They're staying out of the sight of the Roman and Jewish authorities behind locked doors, and then Jesus suddenly appears again. The difference this time is that Thomas was in the room, and his repentance, the Greek word for repentance, metanoia, means a complete change of mind. A 180, you're changing your mind and your body as a result of a truth. It was instantaneous and complete. Jesus says the same thing. "Peace be with you." Peace being shalom, the wholeness of God. But his direct words to Thomas were different. Said, "Thomas, come here. Stick your finger in the hole in my hand. Put your hand in my spear-pierced side. If that's what it takes for you to believe, then do it." And then Jesus said these timely words to Thomas and these timely words to each and every one of us: stop doubting and believe. Stop doubting and believe. right? Thomas's stubborn unbelief instantly melted away when he physically saw the resurrected Jesus and the wounds of the crucifixion. His doubt evaporated in an instant in the presence of the risen Christ. See, for Thomas, seeing was believing, and Jesus was not impressed in the least, at all. After all, it required absolutely no faith or trust at all. Now, I've heard it this week as well, but you know, a lot of people today are worried about the growth of AI, artificial intelligence, right? I've also met a lot of people who are skeptical about it as well. It's pretty interesting. Now, there was one man who was doubtful about all this, so he decided to Google something. Have you ever used AI to Google crazy questions? It's shocking sometimes the answers you get. Very surprising. He decided to Google this, and he said, or hit chat, and he said, "Where's my father? Where's my father?" And the computer instantly replied, "Your father is fishing in Montana." Triumphant, the doubting man declared, "See, you don't know anything. My father died over 20 years ago." But not missing a beat, ChatGPT said this, powered by AI, instantly said, "No, your mother's husband has been dead for over 20 years. Your father just landed a nice 2-pound trout in the Bitterroot River." I didn't take that class in seminary. I mean, since the rise of Ancestry and 23andMe and all these, that's made some for some very interesting counseling sessions. People are finding long-lost relatives or ones they didn't know. Carol just had carpal tunnel surgery. She was adopted. And at 70, she found out through Ancestry that she had a bunch of brothers and sisters in California. Isn't that cool? And she met them, and it's like the whole circle came together. Others, a little more shocking. "I thought he was my dad." Been in those counseling sessions. Huh. We didn't have those classes or those questions when I was in seminary. You know, Thomas disbelieved the women, including Mary Magdalene. He disbelieved his friends and fellow disciples of Jesus. He completely doubted that God could raise his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. In short, Thomas is exactly like the rest of us, right? Totally like us. I hear Christians sometimes, "You know, if I was one of the disciples, I'd believe." It's like, really? Really? Thomas is just like the rest of us. Do we really believe that Jesus was raised from the dead? Does it make any noticeable difference in our daily lives? I'm afraid that for most of us, we give really little thought probably to Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead. And to that, Jesus' words are exactly the same to us as they were Thomas. Stop doubting and believe. You know, stop doubting and believe that the resurrection from the dead is just a nice addition to the Christian faith. We talked about this on Easter. Without it, there is no Christianity at all, period, right? The belief in the doctrinal teaching of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is absolutely central to the gospel. It's not optional, right? I remember a number of years ago in my family's church, we had a youth and ministry leader who actively taught that there was no such thing as the resurrection from the dead and it didn't matter anyway. This was in church, right? The new pastor came in. He ended up being my old mentor. Loved the guy. Great guy. He was an evangelical Christian. He couldn't believe his ears. He had a conversation with this lady. "Wait a minute, you're the youth ministry leader and you're telling people that Jesus didn't raise from the dead? What is he then? Just a prophet or a moral teacher? What are you saying?" And he said to her, actually, "Stop doubting and believe." And she adamantly refused. And then he made a move that made some people angry in the church. This was a little controversial. Tells you what kind of church that was at the time. The pastor said, "You can no longer lead youth ministry at the church. You simply do not believe in the most essential teaching of the Christian faith." And it was astounding, the responses, that how many people there thought that Jesus' resurrection from the dead was optional, that it didn't really matter. And that godly man had his work cut out for him, let me tell you. Likewise, Thomas had to physically see the risen Jesus Christ first, and this lady remained stubborn in her own spiritual blindness as well. Bottom line, God is saying to all of us, not just Thomas today, stop doubting and believe. Look, there is no Christianity without Christ. There is no Christ without him being raised from the dead and alive again. That's how it works. That is 1 Corinthians 15. Paul makes that very clear. You cannot just pick and choose. You know, Christianity is not the dollar menu at McDonald's. Does that even exist anymore? I can't eat there without impunity anymore, so I don't. There's no dollar menu? Is it what, $2, $3 menu? Does it exist? No. The value menu, is that, oh, that's what they call it now. What do you value, your health or your life? That's a different sermon, I'm sorry. Eat real food, people. Back to Thomas, stop doubting and believe. Stop believing that's real food. Anyway, look, Christianity, you can't just pick and choose whatever you feels like. Christianity is not a buffet of picking and choosing. You know what that old theological word heresy means? Yeah, that's heresy. It's Greek. It simply means choice. There's a lot of heresy in America today because people are just picking and choosing what they think they want to believe or not believe. Personal choice. The Lord is saying, stop doubting and believe. Jesus, did you notice, verse 29 pronounces a special blessing on those who have not physically seen him, yet believe in him. You know, we have an old-fashioned word for that. It's called faith. You know what faith also means? Trust. Faith is not just something you have in your head. Yeah, I think there's a God. That's not a saving faith. I believe I'll go to McDonald's and get a Big Mac today. No, I won't, because I'll be paying for that for another day or two, right? Faith means trust in the original. Jesus says, you believe in me, you trust in me, though you have not seen me. That's real faith. John ends this post-resurrection story of the doubting Thomas with some really interesting verses, 30 and 31. Now, people have asked me over the years, they've said, do you believe that Jesus did other miracles that the gospel authors didn't record? And I say, absolutely, I believe that he did. In fact, I know that he did other miracles. And they're like, well, how do you know that? Verses 30 and 31, right? Of course, Jesus did many other wonderful things, but John and the other gospel authors wrote these ones down so that you and I might what? Believe, have trust. That's all we need, right? But inquiring minds want to know, you know? Don't read those rags. You know, it's like the news feed, you know? Doom scrolling and all this crazy stuff, right? John says so in verse 30 and 31. We are called to stop doubting and believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have what? Life in his name. That's Christianity 101, people. Kind of like the time. A little bad theology here. When a couple was going to get married, but unfortunately they died in a car crash. And upon arriving in heaven, they asked St. Peter at the gates, hey, St. Peter, we were meaning to. Can we get married in heaven? Peter says, I seriously doubt it. Actually, Jesus already said that, right? That's very, very rare, said St. Peter. Let me see what I can do. And he left them. 3 months later, he returned looking very worn out, exhausted. And he said to the newly arrived couple, yes, you can get married. But the doubtful couple said, well, St. Peter, what if it doesn't work out? Can we then get divorced? And Peter got mad, and he slammed his clipboard down, white hot rage. The young couple was shocked and scared. He said, look, it took me 3 months to find a priest in this place. Do you know how long it will take me to find a lawyer? Stop doubting and believe. Here's the really good news, and I love that little clip from Dave Stott's Drive Through History. Cool stuff on YouTube, Christian guy. He goes to the places of the Bible or notable places, and he does this cool unpacking of stuff, right? Here's the good news. We know that Thomas did stop doubting and that he really did believe. Church history tells us the fascinating story about Thomas's life and ministry after Jesus said, look, Thomas, stop doubting and believe. The early church tells us that Thomas was called by God to make a long journey to preach the gospel to the idol worshipers of India. This is not just conjecture. We know this happened. We're told that he preached powerfully. Many people in India stopped doubting and believed. Many Christian churches were planted. Most people in Europe had heard the stories, but they didn't believe it. They thought it was just a fanciful story until the 1500s, when the Catholic Christian missionaries, the Jesuits, headed to India to preach the gospel. They thought they were for sure the first ones to be able to do that, to preach about the good news of the resurrected Jesus Christ to the people of India. Imagine the missionary shock to find many Christian churches already planted and doing the work of Christ. Of course, there was more work to do. When the Jesuits asked how long the Christians in India had been there, they said, oh, for a very long time. And they're like, how long? And he said, oh, since Thomas preached the gospel here 1,500 years ago. That was in 1,500. Now it's 2,000 years plus. You see, Thomas had stopped doubting, and he believed, and God used him powerfully for his honor and glory. So what do you suppose that God could do in the midst of our valley if we would just stop doubting and believe? Lives would be saved. Family trees would be forever changed. There would be renewal, revival, a powerful unity among believers, all committed to winning this valley for Jesus Christ. Sounds pretty good to me. How about you? That's good stuff. And I tell you how it would all start. It would start with this: if we just stopped doubting and we actually believed. So let me leave you with the simple yet powerful command of our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this morning, and say, stop doubting and believe. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thanks for this gorgeous day. Thank you for the truth of Thomas, because Thomas is all of us, Lord. There's always times when we doubt, when we don't believe, but you remind us this morning that you are our resurrected Lord, and so we need to stop doubting and believe you for everything you have for our lives. And so lead us and guide us to show us what you want us to do and become as a church family and as individual followers of Jesus Christ. And we pray all these things in the name of our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, saying, amen. Amen.